Folks, the first thing I want to do this morning is pray. Father, we just thank you for another day, another new year. Father, we pray that your hands be upon us to guide us and direct us. Lord, that your light will just lighten the path that we travel here upon this earth, this pathway that we call life. Father, again, thank you for the blessings of last year, Lord, and we look forward to just serving you and being in your presence, Father. Just be with us today, protect and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to pass out some books this morning. Like I say, it's a new year, and they've asked me to try, I guess, my hand at Sunday school. So we're going to do this. And I encourage you, by all means, to... All right. To take and put your name in it. Folks, how long are you guys going to be here? Do you want to borrow a book this morning? And then, okay.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Put your name in it. This is your book. This is, I'm coming at you, brother. Put your name in it. This is where we'll be for the next 10 weeks. Now listen, this is nothing more than just a Sunday school class. This church is truly blessed with the teachers that they have, the scripture that they bring out. And it's not, thus saith me, it's thus saith the Lord. And that's what it's all about. My Sunday school experience has always been with a little book. But I've truly enjoyed sitting back and being fed. Because I'm telling you, the Word of God does not go out void. But with that being said, this book, I want you to make notes in it. Whatever you want to do to it, it's yours to keep, to have. I thought the first thing we would do this morning is I want to go through this introduction. It'll tell us kind of what we've got coming up. And it's nothing more than we will read Scripture. I told Pastor this morning, I said, "You've been on my mind." He said, "Is that right?" I said, "Yep." I said, "The questions Jesus asked." I said, "Who does that remind you of?" Every time he does a sermon, he teaches out of, "Let me ask you a question," he'd say. And I thought, how appropriate. This booklet is nothing more than to get us involved in the questions that Jesus asked. A lot of times we don't get answers. A lot of times, maybe we're not asking the right way. Maybe we've not made our hearts right with our Lord and Savior, who gave everything he had so that we could come into that fellowship with him. The one thing that I will tell you is that God is never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. So these questions in this book, as we go along, it'll just give us some scripture. Now, I think the first one next week, and we'll read the scripture after a bit, is in the book of John. So we ought to be well-versed after the pastor had just gone through his study in John. But it just asks, it gives us a scripture, and then it'll ask us a few questions. I would encourage you to just take time. You know, in your daily devotions, in your weekly time, takes you about maybe 5-10 minutes to read the scripture, to look at the questions and be ready. The whole thing about a Sunday school is it's a time for questions. It's a time for learning. It's a time for fellowship, not anything pressing. I won't put anybody on the spot. Before I ask you anything, I'll make sure that you're okay with being asked. If you would turn to the first part of the book, it says, "Getting the most out of questions Jesus asked." Like I said, it's not really fair to dive into the first one because we haven't had a chance. There's 9 chapters. I think there's 9 chapters. So it'll be a 10-week period. So with that, let's look and see what the what the author says. And now listen, when I first started reading this again, I was like, where is he going with this? But as we go along, just keep your mind open and you'll see. On a recent trip, we drove past a church with a banner out front that said, "Got questions? God has them too." This is where I was thinking, oh, wait a minute. Sure enough, the author follows it up. Our first reaction was to wonder why God would have questions about anything. Then we remembered questions God asked people in the Old Testament and questions Jesus, God incarnate, asked people in the New Testament. In his book, Jesus is the Question, Martin B. Copenhaver maintains that in the Gospels, Jesus asked 307 questions, is asked 183 questions, and gives direct answers to only 8 of the 183 questions he is asked. To be honest with you, I really never paid that much attention to it. I know that, you know, Jesus spoke, and whenever he spoke, there was usually a crowd, and whatever he said was very meaningful. But I'm not a numbers guy. I married an accountant, so I don't have to be a numbers guy. Well, we have not checked out the numbers. Even a quick reading of the gospel shows that Jesus preferred to ask questions rather than to answer them directly. Jesus, says Copenhaver, is no answer man. Well, there a little bit, I beg to differ, because I really believe that Jesus has all the answers. It's just how we ask or present ourselves to him, and he will, in time, give us an answer. Like I said, he's never early, he's never late, he's always right on time. This thing about questions, that's where I thought of the pastor. I thought, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's Sunday night, Sunday morning, it doesn't matter. Let me ask you a question, he'll say. I've got a question. Even the children. Isn't that a blessing? This children's church that he has. I mean, that just, to see the little kids and hear their answers, they're so innocent. And I just pray to God that he keeps his arms wrapped tightly around those children. It goes on to say, instead, it is the questions Jesus asked that have particular power to engage us, especially over time. Some of Jesus' questions are straightforward, but many more are Jesus' questions are more like his parables. There is more than one way to interpret them. We can see something different each time we encounter them. They are invocative, that is, able to invoke something in us. The questions have a power to move us, and often to a place where we have not or ever been before. That banner in front of the church we drove by was probably meant to stir up interest in a sermon series on the questions of God. But our conversation in that car that day eventually led to the lifeguard Bible study questions God asked. And this life guide Bible study, questions Jesus asked. Note that the titles are present tense. Ask rather than asked. We believe that through conscience, scripture, and circumstances, the Lord still asks us these same questions today. Sadly, we cannot recall the name of the church or even the name of the town where we saw the banner. But whoever put it up, wherever it was, thank you. We hope it brought good results to your church, your community, and the kingdom of God. Now, we'll go through these next how-tos and what to expect in an individual study. But first, I want to share a scripture verse with you. Being a Christian is not an easy task. It's not. The easiest part of it is to ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness. That's the easy part. The next years of your life is hard because you have these expectations of yourself where Jesus has already told us that he's already done all the heavy lifting. All we have to do is be obedient to him. And never forget that at any moment in time, because of what he did on that cross, where that veil was torn, we have access to the Most High God. And that we can go and talk with him at any time. You know, I know there's people in this room that have trouble sleeping sometimes at night. You know, being a born-again Christian, there's been times that I have been awakened from sleep, and my thoughts go immediately to what the Lord has for me this next day. And it got to the point to where I would keep, and still do, a tablet beside my bed. Now, I don't know whether you have this problem or not, but I have a problem of recall. And it seems like God will let me see something or know something. And I'm no prophet. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Mm-hmm. But occasionally, he will give me something. And I think, man, that's great. That'll preach, that'll teach, that'll be good in conversation. I wake up, go fall back to sleep, wake up the next morning, and it's gone. So I've learned to keep that pencil and paper beside my bed. Now, sometimes it's hard for me at 3 o'clock in the morning to scribble down something that I just thought about, but it does work. And he has been so faithful through the years. Revelations 3:20 says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him, and he with me." I love that verse. So many people, the world today, is outside that door. Will not open that door. Wants nothing to do with that door, but yet Jesus stands and knocks at that door. He's never moved. He's never changed. But people are reluctant to open that door. Whether they're afraid, I don't know. You know, I don't know how people who live in the world truly get by day to day. You know, you see people hurried and worried, and it's just tough. But like I said before, being a Christian's hard. And it's something that you get up every day, and I would encourage all to start their day with prayer. Because it makes the day go a lot easier. Even a daily Bible study. I mentioned this the last time I had the chance to teach Sunday school. That if you don't have a daily Bible study now, folks, it's a brand new year. You've sat many times and you've said, you know, I want to do this or I want to do that. And I'm not preaching down to you. I'm just trying to encourage. What better time? It's the first Sunday of January. What a better time to start a daily Bible study. There's so many Bible studies out there now that will take you through the Bible in 1 year. You know, I can remember saying to myself, you know, I want to read that Bible completely through. I'd studied the Bible, looked at it, referenced this, referenced that. But as far as taking time to read through that Bible, I hadn't done it. Years ago now, I don't know how many times, Rose and I started on this journey of a daily morning Bible study. Well, you know, I don't have time for that. Listen, if you've got time for a cup of coffee, you've got time for a 5-minute Bible study. We're just now beginning to go through the Bible again. If you've never read the Bible cover to cover, and I'm not judging, I'm not preaching to you, I'm just telling you, what better time than a new year to start and stay with it? Because God will give you the opportunity. He'll give you an uninterrupted time. I used to joke and tell people, my dogs, I'm down to one dog now. We used to have 3 Dog Night. It's an old musical group. Some of you may remember. But I used to tell them, my dogs have heard more scripture than most people. Because they would lay there on the floor when we would study the Bible. And they would just find a spot and that's where they would be. Our mission as Christians is to live a life not looking down our nose at anybody, but to love. Love is the foundation, absolute foundation of all things. Without love, you've got nothing. I don't care whether it's your family, your neighbor, whatever it is, your church family. Without love and forgiveness in your heart, you've got nothing. True love is that verse in Revelation. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. That is love. Love that we can never understand. The love that he showed us. Sinners. Not worthy of anything. But yet he stood there and pounded on that door. And all you got to do is open that door. And it just becomes a brand new life. We'll go over some of these suggestions for individual study. And a lot of it we already know because we've been in church. The first one says, as you begin each study, pray that God will speak to you through his word. We could all go home right now because that's the important part. Begin with prayer. Ask God to just enlighten you. You know, a lot of people on TV shows and talk shows, you know, they get these visions. They get these things, these new visions from God. Well, here's a newsflash for you. If God, and we all know how God's going to come back, but if God would come back right now and sit among us, he wouldn't tell us anything else than what he's already given us in his word. Now, you can take that to the bank. So these folks that begin, I had a vision last night. Nah, I don't think I ever had a vision. Sometimes I wake up with things on my heart, just like I said. And, of course, if I don't scratch it down on a piece of paper, I forget it. But God is like that. He loves us so much that even when we awake, he'll give us something. Not something new. I've never gotten anything new. I've gotten something out of his word. And you go and you research it and you look at it, and sure enough, there it is in black and white. Number two says, read the introduction to the study and respond to the personal reflection, question, or exercise. This is designed to help you focus on God and on the theme of the study. Number three says each study deals with a particular passage so that you can delve right into the author's meaning in the context. Read and reread the passage to be studied. The questions are written using the language of the New International Version, the NIV. Folks, let me just say something. I notice here sometimes people teach and preach out of different versions of the Bible. This is the NIV. I know a lot of people that study and read the NIV. I don't care what version you read as long as you read it, because God's word will not go out void. You know, and I'm an old Scofield guy. I just like the way that it mixes the old King James with some new. I know the pastor is ESV. I think, you know, whatever you read, just read it. Because God will make sure that it's right. But anyway, this study is based on NIV. So you may wish to use the version or that version of the Bible. The New Revised Standard Version is also recommended. Like I said, I'm going to be teaching out of the Scofield. Folks, God's word goes hand in hand. Some of the words from the old King James is hard for me to understand. It just is. So when I used to study and prepare for sermons, I would have two or three Bibles open, I would have study guides open, and I would have my computer to either Net Bible or some type of electronic version so that while I was studying, I could get the most out of words. Folks here that have taught Sunday school before me, they talk about the Latin and the Hebrew, and I've said this before, good luck. Because you're not going to get much of that out of me. I had hard enough trouble with English. And I still struggle with English. So But when you read your Bible, it's something that I want you to be comfortable with. You know, that's the reason you chose the version of the Bible, God's Word, that you could be comfortable with it, that you could understand it. A lot of things that folks don't do anymore is to just read it. You know, they'll take it down off the shelf when they have something of a question, and then they'll put it back up. Well, it needs to be out. It needs to be used. It every day. It is a tool. It hits the operating manual for life is what it is. Number four says, this is an inductive Bible study designed to help you discover for yourself what Scripture is saying. The study includes three types of questions. Observation questions ask about the basic facts: who, what, when, where, and how. Interpretation questions delve into the meaning of the passage. Application questions help you discover the implications of the text for growing. Let me emphasize that word. Growing in Christ. These three keys unlock the treasures of Scripture. Write your answers to the question in the spaces provided or in a personal journey or journal. Writing can bring clarity and deeper understanding of yourself and of God's Word. I was an operations manager for a 2,000 megawatt power station. We burned roughly 18,000 tons of coal every day. If you think about that number, 18,000 tons, a ton of anything is a bunch, but we would burn 18,000 tons. It was one of the most efficient and environmentally safe coal stations that's still in existence today. It's still running. And this place was huge. I myself had about 160 people that I was directly responsible for every day. So the turnover was not great, but you did have times that you would have to go through and hire people. One of the things that I tried to stress, if nothing else, there is never a dumb question. If it's a question in your mind, it's important. So as you go through and study, and you have these questions asked at you, jot down an answer. If you're not sure, jot down what you think, because we will have time to go over these questions. And that's what this Sunday school class, I hope, will be all about. You know, exchange of ideas. How God's speaking to you. And how God speaks to me may not be exactly how He speaks to you. That's the amazing thing about God. He gives you just what you need when you need it. Write your answers to the questions in the spaces provided. We already went there. It might be good to have a Bible dictionary handy. Use it to look up any unfamiliar words, names, or places. Number six says, use the prayer suggestion to guide you in thanking God for what you have learned and to pray about the applications that have come to mind. You may want to go on to the suggestion under now or later, or you may want to use that idea for your next study. I'll give you a little insight. If you read a question and you're not sure about the answer, in the back of the book, there's answers. So you can jot down your answer and compare, and then just let the Holy Spirit just lead you and guide you and enlighten you. Suggestions for members of a group study. And that's what we're going to do. Come to the study prepared. Follow the suggestions for individual study mentioned above. You will find that careful preparations will greatly enrich your time spent in group discussions. Be willing to participate in the discussion. The leader of your group will not be lecturing. Instead, he or she will be encouraging the members of the group to discuss what they have learned. The leader will be asking the questions that are found in this guide. Stick to the topic being discussed. Listen, my wife used to say that I had the unique ability to disappear down a rabbit hole faster than anybody she'd ever known. So if we do get on a topic, listen, we've got time. Just remember that we need to get back on. But if it's a question in your mind about something that the Holy Spirit has stirred in you, ask the question. We'll get back to the study. But if it's important, ask the question. Because there's nothing better than having a group discussion just to see how other people, how God has spoken to their heart. We'll move down a little bit. Be sensitive to the other members of the group. Like I said, there's never a dumb question. Never. If any of my supervisors ever come down on a new employee about something that, well, that's just stupid. Why would you even ask that? That would bring the wrath of an operations manager around their head faster than anything that I've ever done. You know, the worst thing is to browbeat somebody. Then they just pull back into a shell and they don't grow. They don't learn. That's a lesson for us as Christians. When we witness to people, we need to do it in love. Because remember, however long that you've been walking with the Lord is a blessing. And you've probably had life experiences that you've learned from. Somebody who is in the world, living in darkness, has not been into that glorious gospel light of Jesus Christ yet. So, love. Be careful. You don't have to give them the whole book of John at one sitting. But just let them know that Jesus loved me and he also loves you. What better way to open a door? Each question assumes a variety of answers. Many questions do not have right answers, particularly questions that aim at meaning or application. Instead, the questions push us to explore the passage more thoroughly. James 4:8 says this, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." All you have to do is open that door. And God, he'll take care of the rest. But you have to put forth an effort. You have to open the cover of the Bible. You have to open up and read. You have to get in discussions of how God is working in your life. You know, a lot of people say this day and age, I don't need to go to church. Well, I beg to differ. Because what you are going through at this very moment in time may be such a help to somebody else who's sitting in the back or on the side or in the front that's having the same problem. How will they ever know how a Christian who loves Christ could be going through the same thing as them at the same moment without coming and sharing your testimony, without showing love, without just being a friend? That's all we are. If you think of yourself of anything more than that, you're on the wrong path. You're here for a purpose, and that is to let God live through us. When possible, link what you say to the comments of others. Also, be affirming whenever you can. This will encourage some of the more hesitant members of the group to participate. Be careful not to dominate the discussion. We are sometimes so eager to express our thoughts that we leave too little opportunity for others to respond. By all means, participate, but allow others to also. God has blessed us, Rose and I, with 5 grandbabies. And they range from 9 to about 2 weeks old. One thing that I have learned, if one of them begins to tell Grandpa's story, the other 3 are going to join in. And the fourth one, he can just mumble some things, but he wants to get into conversation also. But what I've tried to teach them is to take your time. Grandpa's got enough time. I'll listen to everybody. But children, they want the attention right now, and they want it all. We're sometimes like that. Expect God to teach you through the passage being discussed and through the other members of the group. Pray that you will have an enjoyable and profitable time together, but also that as a result of the study, you will find ways that you can take action individually or as a group. Remember that anything said in the group is considered confidential and should not be discussed outside the group unless specific permission is given to do so. If you are the group leader, you will find additional suggestions at the back of the guide. I want to share one more Bible verse with you this morning. And it comes from Jeremiah. Remember how the pastor the other day said, and I've often said this too, that there's a scarlet thread of redemption from Genesis to Revelation. And that scarlet thread is weaved all the way through the Bible. Jeremiah 29:12-14 says this, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." We were those folks. Because when sin entered into the world, we were then entered into darkness. And without the Lord Jesus Christ and his love, and without what this passage says, if you call upon his name, he will bring you back from that darkness into the glorious gospel light of Jesus Christ. Folks, that's what I hope we get out of this by having this small group discussion. We will just sit here, we'll read through the scripture, and we will enjoy one another's company, and we will hopefully enjoy the discussions that we get into. Listen, I don't have all the answers. Don't even come close to saying that I do. But there's enough men and women in this church that through a discussion, we'll get through it. We've got a pastor who is very well studied. We have Sunday school teachers that are very well studied. So between it all, we'll get through it. And we hope that this Bible study will just be an opening to maybe questions that maybe you've had for a long time. And like I said, if you're sitting there and the Holy Spirit is working on your heart and you've got a question, hey, let's talk about it. Next week, we will open up, like I said, with John chapter 1. Pastor did an excellent job, and here I go, sound like him now. I love the book of John, but I love the book of James, and I love the book of Genesis, and I love the book of Revelation, and I love the book of Daniel. I just love the Word of God, and hopefully we get to a point to where we all are of the same accord and just love the words of the Holy God. But next week we will come, and the question that is asked is, what do you want? Jesus asked that question. What do you want? And that comes from John 1, 29-42. Take time out, read it, answer the questions. If you get them all answered, fine. If not, hey, come with a pencil and we'll take notes and we'll talk about it next week. Anybody have any questions on this study that we're about to delve into? I've done this study before, and it is a very good study. It really is. And at first, you know, hopefully, you know, we all open up a little bit and, you know, we just begin to discuss. Remember, there, even the book says there's no perfect answer. There's not. And like I say, if you look and you get stuck on something, the answers are in the back of the book. What the author said. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of things, well, not a lot, but there's a few things that was discussed in this that I didn't really, that's not how I took. That's not how I walked away from the question. And a lot of commentators, you know, you'll get the same things. You know, commentator, I'll read through and there'll be some things that I agreed with and some that I don't, you know. But I always figured that when we get to heaven, Christ will straighten all that out. No questions at all. Like I say, it's not a very long study each week, a couple pages, and just take your time, get you a cup of coffee. By the time the coffee cup's empty, you'll be through the study, and then we'll discuss it next week. If there's no other questions, hey, let's pray. And hey, man, I'm telling you what, I've even got 30 seconds left. That's the hardest thing for me, is staying on time. Father God, we just come again and thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you for each and every one that's here. Father, I do pray that as we look at your word, that we study it. Lord, I am thankful for the studies that we've had before. Lord, I look forward to them again. Lord, I pray now that you will just enlighten us as we study this booklet. Lord, again, and just let us just have a loving conversation about the Word of God. Father, again, be with the pastor. Be with all who have a part in the service. Lord, watch care over us and protect us. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.